Sincere and Surreal with Stonic. This is episode one. It's also the test. So it might not ever see the light of day. If you're seeing this, we did it.
Dead Room Comedy.
How do you exist with daily unseen burdens? When did you become aware of those burdens? And do you think the way you are going about existing with them is working?
I'm gonna answer the last question first. It's not working as well as it could. You know, it's working than that I can get from the day to day to day. I'd say this year in particular that the unseen burdens, they're ever present. They're never going away. They're these monoliths. And I've just sort of come to accept them as normal occurrences in my life and accept them as friends almost. Have you ever had a friend that was sort of like toxic, but there's still that sort of love that you have for that? Sometimes that's what these burdens feel like, is that there's a comfortableness that I have with these burdens. I mean, I've always had them, but I became aware that there was a name for them when my mom became aware that when she got diagnosed with bipolar. Okay. And then I started looking back and I was like, oh shit, all these huge emotional swings and these actions and these manic states, like there's a reason why I'm not like other people. There's a reason why I struggle, even though I feel very smart sometimes, I feel very loving, and oftentimes I feel very even keeled. And then just to have that departure into, it feels like almost another person, was so scary to me, because I never knew. I would self-medicate with, you know, alcohol, because I was in the Marine Corps and I couldn't use marijuana. And alcohol, one of the worst things to self-medicate with. I don't know if you have experience with that, but
I do.
Yeah, and it's... It made me sad a lot. I say there's more happier days now than there are sad days, but I also don't know if these burdens are ever going to be gone. And I'm okay with that, is that I know that there's so much happiness left to live in my life, and that what I'm creating with myself, with my partner, with my dog, I'm excited, man.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
So my first question is a sincere question.
Yeah.
When was the last time you said, I love you, and what was the context that you said it in?
Today. It was today, and it was to my girlfriend / partner. I used to laugh at the term partner, and now I get it. Which makes me think of last time her and I were together down in Tucson. We were showing each other's parents via their social medias.
That's funny.
And like her dad is like, hey guys, here's the old house. It's all empty now. We're moving out. We're leaving the fridge. Too big to move. You know.
Sweet.
Sweet. Yeah. And then I showed her my mom's face or Instagram, and she had a picture of my dad and her at like some zoo lights or something like that, some winter celebration, and she wrote, with my best friend and forever date.
Oh my God.
I know. And they've been married 27 years.
And gone through some shit.
Yeah. Gone through some a lot of shit.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen her post that before. And in the context of knowing this person the way that I do, loving this person the way that I do, feeling loved the way that I do now, I get that. I feel like I've met someone I could go on a date with every day until I die.
Beautiful, man. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited.
Thank you. The surreal question.
Oof.
Kill, fuck, marry.
All right, all
three,
right.
Three animals you work with at the zoo.
All right. Kill, like, geese? Can I say geese?
You can say geese, yeah.
Fuck the goddamn geese, man. They hiss it. They get everywhere. They bully the penguins. Fuck them geese. All right,
geese are like the white people of the zoo.
Yeah, and then fuck a rhino just because I want to walk around looking at that rhino. Like, you little bitch. And then Mary, I got to say the otters, man. They hold hands. They're on the water. They take naps. Yeah, so that's, yeah, those are my fuck, Mary, kill.
That is so sweet. Because they do hold hands.
They do hold hands. Do you believe in reincarnation? And do you think you found somebody that you are reincarnated from?
Not a specific someone. I think I do believe in reincarnation. In a way, like, I believe in it as one of many possibilities for what happens after death, because I don't know, and I couldn't say I believe in it as a certainty. But I think it could make a lot of sense. I think it's feasible as any other hypothesis on what happens after death. Follow the trajectory, saying it's true, saying it is true. I believe I am a reincarnated bisexual black woman from the 70s.
Yeah? From where? What city?
That's a good question.
Like Detroit or New York? Or down south?
You're right. You're closer on the first two. I think maybe like Akron, and then I moved to New York.
Oh,
like
I see.
Like a Midwesterner
that.
In New York that really found herself. Because I tell you what, there's a lot in me that's a lesbian. And
clearly.
And just the way I move in to get, move in. I want to move in quickly. I fall in love real quickly. All the stereotypes. But also, since I was a small boy, I loved Marvin Gaye, Otis, Charles, so Mike and Tina.
A little problematic, but
well,
good.
And then I learned, but yeah, those beats hit.
The beats hit.
Like one time I was like, is this a new song? Because this is really good. And then I looked and I saw it was Ike and Tina. I was like, because just, good music. James Brown, So, under that context, because my parents were listening to Mercy Me, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Carrie Underwood. There was no one exposing me to this music, but I found my own way there. And just there's a timelessness to music where it does not, you don't need to ask what this is or what is it trying to say, you just feel it.
Sure.
And I feel it.
Beautiful.
Yeah. This has been surreal, sincere and surreal with Stonic.
I've been Josh.
I've been Joe. I feel like we should like.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Comedy.